Evening, and welcome to another exciting opportunity to delve into God's Word in the School of Ministry under the leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. Yes, this is Ever Increasing Word Training Center, and I'm always honored for the opportunity to be an instructor in this class. I believe that our apostle is one of the greatest men and leaders of our day. And I hope that you would spend time praying for he and the royal family and for all who are connected to him. So with that being said, we're going to delve into tonight's lesson. We're going to pick up in chapter number 2, and we're going to go through the power gifts. And then in chapter 3, we're going to look at prophecy. And we may even get a little bit into chapter 4. I'm going to encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and read the book. I cannot teach you all of the book in the amount of time that we have allotted. So don't be lazy. Read. Okay, let us begin. The third category is the power gifts. Now remember, we said the prophecy gift or the speaking gifts is the gateway to the other six. Are you listening? Now, what does that mean? See, prophecy is when you speak a divine utterance in a known language from God. Now, it's important for me to do this before we get into these power gifts, because you will find that oftentimes in the power gifts, and not only oftentimes, but the power gifts and the revelation gifts flow through the prophecy gifts. So the talking gifts or the speaking gifts are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, prophecy is when we speak a divine utterance that comes to us directly from God himself. When we are prophesying, we are speaking on God's behalf. Now, why is that important? Because prophecy, if you have a silver dime, if you take that silver dime and look at it and say, we're going to make that silver dime equivalent to prophecy. Well, there's also tongues and interpretation of tongues. See, Paul said, I would that you all speak in tongues, but I rather that you prophesy. Because if you speak in an unknown tongue, you're speaking directly to God and you're only edifying yourself. But prophecy is designed to edify, exhort, and comfort the church. So just to speak in tongues without the interpretation is not equivalent to prophecy. So if you have prophecy, which is a dime, and you have tongues and interpretation of tongues, two nickels, last I checked, two nickels equal one dime. So now you understand why Paul say, I'd rather that you prophesy than to just speak or pray in tongues. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 say, I would that you all speak in tongues, that's wonderful. But I pray, or you should pray, that you interpret what you're praying. Are you listening? Because when you interpret what you're praying in an unknown tongue, that's equivalent to prophecy. Okay, let us begin with the power gifts. The power gifts are gifts of demonstration. They are doing gifts, gifts that do something. There are three power gifts: gifts of healing, working of miracles, and the gift of faith or special faith. Power gifts are avenues of demonstration. They reveal to us the power of God to heal the sick, They reveal God's power to create. They reveal God's sovereignty. They reveal the overcoming power of God in the believer. They reveal that God can overrule in all the areas where the devil is presently ruling. And they create and they release a consciousness of God's sovereignty over the works of sin, man, and the devil. You heard that? Those power gifts show God's sovereignty over sin, which means sin is not more powerful than God's sovereignty. They reveal that God's power is greater than man. Are you listening? My goodness. And over Satan himself. Okay, go ahead. Power gifts reveal the works of God to the people of God. The works of God empowers us as believers to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. God outworks his plans and purposes and causes all things contrary to his desires to yield until it is conformed to God's will. The power gifts allow the workings of God in the believer to be clearly seen. The works of God will reveal the manifested presence of God. And the power gifts will ultimately reveal the person of the Lord Jesus, who is the Christ. Power gifts are instruments to bring in whatever we need to do for those whom we are ministering to. We become open channels to perform on God's behalf what God desires to be done for that person. We become God's hands and God's demonstration to execute God's will and pleasure upon that person. Now watch what I'm about to say. How God anointed, Acts 10:38, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Those power gifts are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you wouldn't be lost tonight. These nine manifestations of the Spirit is how Jesus functioned in the earth realm as a man anointed by God. They oftentimes talked about the miracles that Jesus did. Jesus said, Rome 1, it is not me doing the work. It is my Father who is doing the work through me. How did the Father do the work through Jesus? In the person of the Holy Spirit. And those power gifts are manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit of the living God. Go ahead. Gifts make us effective witnesses. God wants effective witnesses. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, now that word witnesses, we need to go a step farther. That's not just talking about sharing your faith. That word witnesses talks about I'll be a martyr. I'll lay down my life for the cause of the Christ. You can only offer up yourself through the eternal spirit. Jesus could not go to that cross on his own. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to pray, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In the book of Hebrews, it says he offered himself up through God's eternal spirit. Why are you telling us, Dr. Walker? It's because we need the Holy Spirit as our escort into the spirit realm, because he's the one who shows us how to function in it. Go ahead, child. A wise witness wins souls. That's Proverbs 11 and 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God wants us to say the things. Now we're going back into those three categories of gifts. God wants us to say the things he wants us to say. That is through prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. He wants us to know the things he wants us to know. That's called the revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And God wants us to do the things he wants us to do. That is through gifts of healing, working of miracles, and special faith. The nine gifts, they are our earthly inheritance. And we need to function and to use them fully if we are to become effective witnesses. And I understand why a lot of people don't function in the gifts of the Spirit, because they don't understand what Paul said. He said, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. God will give you the desires of your heart, but you must desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. My goodness. Go ahead. Only the violent have the force and the power to advance the kingdom of God. The force and the power is invested in the proper and full usage of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, when God is in us doing the work, he does the work in us by the Spirit. Go ahead. Gifts. See, the gifts of the Spirit do not reveal holiness or your spirituality. Go ahead. Gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit. They are not merit badges for the peer. You heard that? They are not merit badges, you know, for how right you are. Let me tell you something. God is the one who sanctified you. God is the one who made you clean. Are you listening? God is the one who graces us and empowers us to live a godly lifestyle. But the gifts of the Spirit are not merit badges. Now, the church won't preach this, but in 1 Corinthians, when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul told the church at Corinth, you come behind in no spiritual gifts. That's what he said. But yet he came back and say, you are yet carnal, babes. You still arguing and fussing about I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. There's still division amongst you. When you come to take communion, you come to eat and drink and get drunk in the church. Yeah, that's all in the Bible. Yet Paul told that same Corinthian church, you come behind in no spiritual gift. So when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he showed them how they should function in the nine manifestations of the Spirit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. A pure life of holy living comes out of a moral decision. And it's a one of choice. In other words, we have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to live right. It's a conscious decision. And that decision cannot be made apart from the Holy Spirit. Because in order for you to want to live right in this generation, you must have someone greater than you on the inside of you. Go ahead. The gifts do not reveal holiness, but holiness is necessary for development, accuracy, and impact of the gifts that are manifesting themselves through us. Did you catch that? See, I'm a sanctified Church of God in Christ boy. Hebrews 12:14 say, follow peace with all men. For holiness without no man shall see the Lord. And much of our holiness had to do with the outer shell. But I want to submit to you, as a young man raised up in a holiness church that did all of the holiness outward things, there was an inward problem. And the inward problem was, we try to keep rules and regulations, but we don't have nothing to sustain us. I'm telling you, without the renewing of the soul, by the power and transformation of the Holy Ghost, you cannot live a holy life. Because in order to live a holy life, you got to have transformation. Paul said in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is that right? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I cannot present my body without a transformation of my mind. My soul must go through a process of being saved. Are you listening? Sanctification is a process. Living holy, you got to go through the process of sanctification so you can manifest holiness. That cannot be done with following rituals and rules without the sustaining power of the Holy Ghost. Put it another way, Dr. Walker. It's best to not want to do something than to suppress doing. Because if you suppress it, it'll only go for so long. It will resurrect on you. Why? Because you don't have the revelation in your soul that I got to walk away from that. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. See, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is an empowerment to live the kind of life God wants you to live. But grace is being overruled by law. Why? Because when you live a law-based life, see, the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. But when you're in the flesh, you can't do that which is spiritual. But the Bible says the strength of sin is the law. So when you live a law-based life, you can't overcome sin. Sin can only be overcome when you're walking in grace. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. And we must come to the one that provides grace and have given unto us the spirit of grace so we can walk in the empowerment of grace. All right, let's go. The gifts will fail to develop into maturity if the user of the gifts are walking carelessly. They will fail to grow in the anointing if the user despises the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the leading of the Holy Spirit, Jesus say, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead and guide you into all the truth. That's why we're here tonight. Moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy have to deal with moving in the gifts of the Spirit, which means learning how to be led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you are not a son because you're born into the kingdom as a son. You must mature to become the sons and daughters by yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. The gifts will fail to have depth and accuracy if the user neglects godly relationships with the Holy Spirit and with fathers such as apostles who are designed to bring the boy out of us. The gifts will also fail to impact and influence others if the user is not motivated by God's love. See, so that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is sandwiched between chapter 12 and 14. You desire the gifts, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, to be present in your life. The best gift is the one you need at the time it's needed. 1 Corinthians 13 says you can have all the gifts, but if you're not functioning in love, you're just a tinkling, loud-sounding cymbal. Chapter 14 tell you how to function. Go ahead. Gifts properly used opens effectual doors for ministry, prosperity, and fame. Chapter number 3, the gift of prophecy. The concept of Old Testament prophecy. There are two Hebrew words that are used to describe the function of prophecy. One describes human activity, and the other describes divine activity. The prophetic message is both the words of the prophet and the word of the Lord. Naba, N-A-B-A, represents human activity. It means to bubble up, and it means to gush forth, or it means to pour forth. It reflects the influence of the Holy Spirit upon the human personality and spirit until the message bubbles up, gushes forth, and pours out of the prophet's lips like a mighty river. The anointed message stores the heart of the man, causing his heart to respond towards God, to express God's feelings, thoughts, and words. Nataf, N-A-T-A-F. Now, Nataf means divine activity. It means to drop, to fall as drops of rain. It reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God as the source of life. In other words, God is speaking directly to you. The Bible says concerning the word of God that no scripture is of any private interpretation. But holy men of God, watch this, spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? That's what makes the scripture divine. Because it's not people just sitting down and writing. They wrote by divine influence. Not only did they write by divine influence, they also spoke by divine influence. That's the greatest thing can happen in your life, is God speaking to you and you turning around speaking what thus says the Lord. You find that in when you deal with God sending Moses to the children of Israel to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh. God told Moses, I'm going to be with your mouth. I'm going to put words in your mouth. And when I put my words in your mouth, when you speak to the people, it's me speaking. Well, guess what? That's what prophecy really is. Okay. This divine activity sets the motion for human activity. Prophecy is not a product of human deduction or reasoning. Prophecy is one that starts out within the heart and mind of God, within the heart and the mind of God. Now, the process of Old Testament prophecy. There are two Old Testament words, roah and choza. Both of those words means seer and are synonyms for the word prophet. The word seer is descriptive of the receptive function of the prophet. It refers to man's ability to see into the realm of the spirit and to hear and to receive God's message. He's able to have access into the realm of the spirit, to tap into revelation knowledge and the unfolding of God's plans and God's purposes. The word prophet is descriptive of the communicative function. It refers to man's ability to communicate what God is saying or what God wants to say to his people. Now, let me say this. All of God's people can prophesy, but that doesn't make all of God's people's prophets. Hello. I'm talking about the office of the prophet. You need to know that. See, because when a prophet is around you, you might want to prophesy. That's because of that resident gift that's in him. We'll talk about that later. Go ahead. The word prophet has the ability to administrate the word in clarity and in wisdom. Only after God's word is properly delivered does God hold the hearers responsible and accountable for what they are hearing. Man must learn how to tune into proper reception of God's word by training his own spirit to become spiritually sensitive. Now, let's go to the concept of New Testament prophecy. See, let me say this. Amos 3:7 say, surely the Lord God would do nothing except he do it through his servant. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveal it. He reveal his secret to his servant, the prophets. Prophets are mouthpieces of God. They know the heart of God. They know the mind of God for God's people present. Never forget that. They're not decoration. We're not here to give you a poem, a rhyme, and a riddle. We want you to know God's heart. Go ahead. What is it? Prophetail. Prophetail. I got it now. Prophetail means to prophesy, to speak for another, or to speak on the behalf of another, or a mouthpiece. That's what the word prophetail does, and that's what prophets do. Go ahead. Foretelling and forthtelling, they are a part of the prophetic flow. Because of this, the misconception of all who prophesy are prophets. That's where that came into existence. Now, let's establish a workable concept. The New Testament prophet has the ability to hear or to receive directly from God into his spirit and not his mind. He has the ability to discern, to respond rightly, the word of God received, and he deciphers the word accurately. Now, I want to bring some clarity here. See, the Holy Spirit is within our born again, recreated human spirit. God does not speak to our minds. He speaks to our spirits because God is a speaking spirit. He communicates spirit to spirit. It is up to us to allow our spirits to speak to our mind. And how do we do that? By taking God's word and meditating, so as to cause the mind to conform unto God's word. See, that's why the word of God talks about casting down imagination in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, or the knowledge of God's word. Only with the word of God can we subdue this mind. Only with the word of God can you control your thoughts. In one book, God say, my thought, Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, you read it. God say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So we don't think like God, but God's word, which is his thoughts. Every word of God impacts your soul. God's word is the way he thinks. God's word is the way he feels. God's word is his will. God's word is his conscience. God's word is his desire. Y'all getting the picture here? So God wants us to receive his word into our spirit so we can hear clearly on the inside and speak out of our spirit. But that cannot happen accurately if we don't get our mind in tune or in alignment. Divine alignment, spirit, soul, and body. Go ahead, child. In the New Testament prophet, he needs to develop the wisdom to communicate the word received to the people present. The definition of New Testament prophecy. The simplest definition of prophecy is to speak on God's behalf. You understand the weight of that? They got people going around saying stuff that God didn't say. And that's frustrating for you to prophesy to a person and it never happened. And I understand that there's a Godward side and there's a manward side. But let's be real. When God speaks, it's already performed the minute he spoke. Oftentimes, God is not telling you what he's going to do. God is telling you what he's already done. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. You got to understand, when God speaks, it's done. And following instructions causes the performance to come into manifestation. Go ahead. The simplest definition of prophecy is to speak on the behalf of God. The divinely inspired and anointed utterance are words received for the people present. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Did you catch that? Read it again. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. So now you have speaking in tongues. Are you listening? In an unknown tongue. Are you listening? And then you have prophecy. That's a known tongue. You got that? So that's why Paul say, versus speaking in an unknown tongue, I'd rather that you prophesy. Because you can speak in an unknown tongue all day long. That's not edifying me. That's not building me up. That's not comforting me, because I don't know what the hell you're saying. But when you prophesy, you're speaking in a known tongue to bring clarity to me. Go ahead. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not that of the human mind. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it's not a manifestation of some bad biscuits you ate. Go ahead. Human will and faith, they are actively involved in prophecy. Human will and faith. It takes faith to prophesy, baby. It takes faith. You got to trust this is God talking to me, and I'm saying what God say. Go ahead. The human intellect and reasoning are not the source of prophecy, not divine prophecy. Prophecy is important enough to covet it. Prophecy is the most important of the inspirational vocal gifts. Prophecy is the doorway for all other gifts. It is a medium through which all the other gifts will flow. In other words, when God gives you the word of wisdom, which is his mind concerning a person, and it has to deal with their future. Are you listening to me? Certain facts in the mind of God concerning a person, are you listening? And their future. You about to bring a person's future into the now with the gift of prophecy. Go ahead, child. Well, why did I say the word of wisdom? Because that's a revelational gift. God revealing something to you. But God revealing something to you got to be spoken. The word of knowledge is certain facts that's in the mind of God. Are you listening? And it's got to be spoken. Go ahead, child. Apostle Paul challenged us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has been set aside for the care and proper employment of the vocal gifts. Well, we'll see y'all next time. Go ahead on and read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and we'll see y'all with the next session. Be blessed.